Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
Sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage, sausage, pork, beef, cheese, whole milk, milk, butter, margarine, nuts, and sausage,
Press 1 if you are tripping balls. Press 2 if you are planning to trip balls. Press 3, if all the balls have been tripped, yet you find yourself adrift amongst the tubes of the ether, dreaming of tubes amongst spheres that have not yet been you pressed 1, you are tripping balls.
Relax. You're not tripping balls. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome to Transition State. radio fans. You're listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9 FM and all around the world on the internet. How did you like that instrumental music we started with? That was Flatback with In Soot I Sleep. That track was from a special disc called East Van Special Blend. If you like East Van, or if you like special blends, then you know what I'm talking about. That disc is, of course, a compilation of local bands put out by a commercial drive coffee company. So pick it up, pick up some coffee, or just shut up and listen. This week we'll be talking with special celebrity guest Luther Wright of Luther Wright and the Wrongs, so stay tuned for that interview. But first, we're going to transition into another Vancouver band. This is the Courtneys with Manion.
Yeah.
Now that's music. That was Lulu Gelikani singing Décollage for a band called Thievery Corporation. Now, fans of this show will know that usually we have an interview with a member of the pharmaceutical sciences community, mostly because they are super cool people. But this week, I had a special opportunity to sit down with Mr. Luther Wright. Here's what he had to say.
Hi. I guess I'll just ask, how did you get started playing music? No, let's wait.
Yeah, my one. Well, I wasn't from a particularly musical family, although my mother was a piano player, and she did tour with her aunt when she was in her teens. But other than that, we didn't really have a lot of instruments and such around the house. It's one of those things that came about in my teen years with... In social situations where friends would be playing guitar, and you know, we've all been around bonfires, and they pass the guitar around the bonfire, and I got tired of passing it on without playing a song, so I finally got my gumption up and learned how to play the damn thing. And as soon as I got past a certain point, I started writing songs, and then same thing with my younger brother. So that we started a punk band, kind of garage band in Kingston, pretty immediately after we'd written a few tunes, and took it from there.
Wow, what was the name of the punk band?
The Mugwarts.
The Mugwarts. Okay, let me ask you this. How important do you think it is, the name, the title of the album, the name of the song, or the name of the band?
I don't know, importance. It's kind of the other end of the, putting the cart ahead of the horse, really. The important thing is that the thing you're naming is good. Like, that's important. That's what it's all about. So if you have a fantastic piece of music or a piece of art, you can call it, you know, Yargy Bargy or some imaginary word, and it's still the power of the creation is gonna you know, shine through. So I think it's more like a fun thing. Like naming a band or naming a song or naming an album is a lot of fun. However, band names are, you know, if someone has a crappy band name, people are certainly commenting on, like, what, you know, what is that? But and it's sometimes you hear an expression and you think, that'd be a great band name. You know, so, something to have fun with.
How many shows have you played this year?
Well, you know, about 100, I suppose, maybe. No, I wonder if that many already. Maybe. No, I haven't played that much.
But
in this year, you know, I probably play about 150 shows a year, depending on the year. Right now I'm recording a new record of my own, so I... trying not to book as many shows away. And yeah, I'm not, you know, my family and such, I have to be around a little more than I used to, so don't just stay out on the road constantly.
But pretty steady, you're touring.
It's pretty steady playing music. A lot of it doesn't involve touring. Like, I'm from Kingston, I live in Quebec, in Wakefield, and We're in Vancouver right now, so this is a tour. Like I flew out, and we pack up and load up a van and rehearse and tour all around. Whereas a lot of the times playing would mean just playing either in the area where I live, where I can drive home after the show, or playing one or two shows within the area. So I don't really call that touring. Like touring is more of like kissing the kids and the missus goodbye,
the bus.
And getting in a van or getting on a plane and going away. So yeah.
So how many shows have you played out here?
This has been, we'll have done 12 shows in 14 days, I guess.
Okay.
12 shows, so.
It's a bit of a tour.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a tour. I mean, we're in the van, we're in the road. There's, Carolyn Mark and I and Rusty Ford.
Okay.
And Terry Upton, so, which is the show that we're playing tonight, Times Front from.
And tell us about the new album.
Well, it's about halfway done, I'd like to think, maybe a bit more. It's a little more rock and roll. Our band, Luther Right and the Wrongs, is predominantly a country and western music. With a little sort of alternative roots and such. But this is, there's a little more rock and roll stuff on it. I've done a lot of loud electric guitar overdubs. My friend Chris Brown from the band Bourbon Tabernacle Choir, it's a funk band from Toronto in the 90s. And then he went and lived in New York and still has a place in New York City. And he and his singing partner, Kate Fenner, have made a bunch of records and done a lot of great stuff. But he produces albums now and has a studio on Wolf Island, which is this magical little spot across from Kingston in Ontario, on the Great Lakes, just where the St. Lawrence River starts. It's actually the first of the Thousand Islands. And so we've been recording. He bought the old post office, so it's like a 100-year-old little house.
And that's
house.
Where you record.
So we're recording there. So I go, I come down and take the ferry over, and we make some tea, and then he fires up the magic equipment, and it's been going pretty good. Though he has an idea. I've produced all my own records or co-produced pretty much everything I've ever worked on, and half of it I've engineered as well. But in my middle age, I guess I'd say I'm less of a control freak, and I'm so happy to just let someone else make all the decisions. And Chris has been really great. He's a producer. He has ideas. He has a vision of what he wants to achieve, and it's been pretty fun. I'm doing as many things as I can do, so playing all the bass and electric guitar and singing all the vocals and harmonies and keyboard bits that I can play, and then things that I can't do to his satisfaction or my satisfaction, we bring in the Wrongs or the first choice, so by band members. Obviously drums is the big one. Cam Giroux, our longtime drummer, on and off, but he's doing all the drum parts, and I'll probably get Sean Kelly and Dan Curtis in to do a little bit, so the bass player and the guitar player. And then if we reach out beyond that to the next group of friends in the Kingston area or Ontario area, like get some fiddle done, either by Megan, who's our fiddler, Megan Palmer from Nashville, or the Abrams brothers, one of the boys plays great fiddle on that, but it's exciting, yeah.
Does the new album have a title yet?
No, the working title is The Man of Leisure.
Okay.
Because my last record is called The Man of Your Dreams. But I think The Man of Leisure is appropriate because it's taken me a lot longer to make a record. We used to be an album every 2 years kind of band, but it's been about... I have made a live album and a little EP in the last 6 years, but it's been 6 years since the full record, so it's been long enough. I mean, I've been playing constantly, but... I've written a lot of songs. I don't write as many songs as I used to, so I've taken to filling in the blanks with covering friends of mine's songs, like Shyler Jansen from Old Reliable, who's coming to the show tonight to sing a tune with me. I sing one or two of his songs, and Marco Bozovic from Meat Draw, which is a great band from Victoria, covering one of his songs. I'm adapting them to my own evil stylings, and Hank and Lily from the Hank and Lily Show, I cover one of their songs, and their version is pretty punk, so I'm doing it like a pretty country song. So, and we've always covered one or two Sarah Harmer songs. So her and I were in a band together, and she sings on lots of our Luther Right and the Wrong stuff. So it's a nice community; everybody sort of shares. Yeah.
With the Wrongs, it sounds like you sort of describe them as like a backup system.
Well, the Wrongs are my band, Luther Right and the Wrongs, so like they're...
Okay, so call them your band.
The band, yeah. So I'd say, but they're my... Yeah, I mean, they're...
They don't mind sort of being there when you need them and then not...
Well, everybody's pretty busy. The days of... We were a singular enterprise for a bunch of years, but it's in the great tradition of country music, I'd like to think, roots music, that the main singer-songwriter sort of stays the course and the other players can come and go... depending on their lives. I mean, you know, children, families, jobs, burning out from being on the road. So I wanted to make it so everybody has, you know, when I book shows or festivals or tours, I talk to think about who would be the most fun to be on the tour, geographically, what is the best situation, because a couple of the wrongs, there's two or three bass players to choose from, maybe even more. But and a couple of drummers, you know, that have played 3 years on and off. So depending on where we're going and who's in that area and who I haven't seen for a while, a lot of it's social based.
Where do they live?
Megan Palmer, the fiddler, lives in Nashville now. She's from Columbus. And then a couple of bass players, Jason Mercer and a couple others live in Brooklyn, in New York. Okay. Where Megan lived there for a while, too, so that was handy. And then I borrowed some friends' drummers or something like that. And then they eventually learn your songs well enough, so I've got a couple of guys in New York City that are, I could call drummers for the wrongs to call. And a couple guys live in Kingston, a couple of the wrongs. Dan Curtis is sort of founding member, lead guitarist. He's a Kingston guy and the most steady. And Dan Whiteley, the mandolin player, lives north of Kingston. And Cam Giroux and James and Burke Carroll, our steel guy, they all live in Toronto. Wow. So Toronto, Kingston-ish, New York, Nashville. And then now out west, I mean, Carolyn, Mark and I have played so many shows together. Can't say she's not in the band.
Yeah, you got to have a western presence.
Yeah, for sure. And Terry Upton, who's playing double bass with us tonight, who was in the Gruffs for years and plays with Carolyn and a whole bunch of bands. She's playing in Frog Eyes now, I guess. She's also, I'd call her a wrongs bass player. She's learned the 20 tunes or whatever, at least to get us through the first couple sets, and then we can wing it from there. Yeah.
I really wanted to ask you about rebuilding the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about how that came about, how that got started?
Sure. Just a concept we had, you know, smoking
you
a little POT one day. We were driving in our van. I was in the band Weeping Tile with Sarah Harmer and Cam Giroux from the wrongs and Sister Mary. And we would have had a little guitar in the band. And would always, you know, I would get to playing along with the radio just out of boredom, like soloing along behind things. And I think the wall came on, like the we don't need no education. And so I was playing. I said, well, this has kind of got like a country, kind of like one of those outlaw country feels. Like, and then we talked about it, and someone else said, oh yeah, what about this song? And then we realized that perhaps there was a more country music to the wall than like if you scratch the surface. So once I mentioned it to the guys in the wrongs and Dan and Sean and Cam and I, we slowly went through every song. We were making another record, and one day the power went out, or there was an electrical storm, so the engineer wanted to turn all the gear off, so he didn't fry his stuff, so we had to sit around in the kitchen for a couple hours. And Dan just brought the wall on vinyl out that we happen to have, and we went through every song on it and to see if it could be translated into like basic stuff that we proposed to do. Sure enough, not one song did not work, and we rewrote the music for a couple. Run Like Hell, I rewrote the music basically completely, but we kept all the lyrics and such. And it just kind of went from there, and it was sort of a running joke for a while. Like, yeah, we're re-recording the wall as a country record. Everybody's like, you're smoking a lot of pot, guys. And like, well, you know. Anyway, it went from there. So we realized it after about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fantastic album.
Thanks, it was fun. Well, the first, we finished it, and we really did it in a vacuum. You know, we used a lot of people who are involved in it, like in the band and friends and other musicians in Kingston. But the first, when we mastered it and had it all done and all the yeehaws and the cowboys shit and all that stuff, we made two copies and kept one and mailed the other one to Roger Waters with a letter that I wrote saying, "Dear Mr. Waters, we love your record. We think it works really well like this. I changed some words to make it contextually fit the country theme, but what do you think?" And then we heard back probably 3 months later from his manager, and he saying, "Roger loves the record, thinks you guys are funny, that's great. Do whatever you want." So we lined up a deal with Universal and, you know, whatever, just started applying for tour grants and taking advantage of the fact, because it opened a lot of doors, because especially in the States and places where people, you know, otherwise we'd have to fight through the playing, you know, they don't know us from Adam, so to speak, your name Adam, but it was a kind of a, you know, we got to play a lot of clubs quicker than we probably would based on having that record, but we also had to prove ourselves by not being a one-trick pony, so we generally would play about half of the Wall, Rebuild the Wall songs, and then half our own songs, and kind of mix them up, and let people would realize, oh yeah, like the Wall stuff, yeah, those are funny tunes, but their songs are good, so it kind of helped us propel us, because that's the only cover music we ever did. Actually, I mean, there may be the one Johnny Cash song at one point, and the rest of the covers are covers of songs of friends of mine, so we're not really like, we can't do Thriller, and then, you know, the Wall, and Oasis songs, all country, we're not those kind of guys, so yeah, it's been a real treat.
Okay, one more question.
Sure.
So I'm really curious, if you, like, as a musician at this point, you're involved with, you know, playing, conceptualizing, mm-hmm. you know, editing and working like that, writing songs, playing all these different instruments, what part of it do you really like the most? What part of it, like, really keeps you going? It's like your favorite aspect of music today?
Well, I guess it all keeps me, I mean, I'm not relying on one thing to keep me going, but the especially being on tour, and this is our last show of a two-week run, and we're feeling great about every show, is the when you're on stage and you're on. And I notice it more at the beginning of tours, and if I haven't played for a little while and then I get on stage, that I'll be, oh yeah, this is who I am. Like, this is me. This is what I am here for, in a way. Like, that kind of sensation. I mean, it's, you know, you can't be on stage all the time, but everything's okay. It just has this great joyous feeling of I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, like, the performing's fun, you know? I like to make people laugh or feel comfortable. And I like to, as an audience member, I like to witness things on stage. I mean, where people are comfortable on stage. I mean, sometimes you don't need to be comfortable, but anyway, yeah, I like that part.
Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there?
Do you have 5 more minutes?
Okay.
If you don't have to go.
Sure. What does it take you? How do you mind?
Let me ask you a few pharmacy questions.
Sure. Let's see where it goes. I mean, my dad he taught medicine at Queens, but I really didn't pay attention, and none of us wanted to be in medical school. So. And my mom was a nurse, so I grew up in medical families, so I'm not completely...
I know something.
Well, I guess, yeah. But, yeah, fire away.
Okay, well, what? How often do you go to a pharmacy?
I guess once a month.
Pretty regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I have to get a prescription for a mild condition thing, but it's not it's a prescription element. So.
Do you have a relationship with the pharmacist?
Not necessarily. No more than the bank person, the teller or such.
Pretty strictly business.
I could see that, though. I mean, I'm a pretty healthy 50-year-old male with of average weight and height and such, so I don't really, and I don't have any really existing health conditions, but I could understand how that would be. I could see people very much having a relationship with their pharmacists. I mean, they're there to offer information as well, right? I like
right.
that you can go and talk to the pharmacist, and even though I repeat the same prescription all the time, that sometimes the pharmacist will come over and he goes, you know, they're very nice like that, so it seems like the system's set up.
Do you think it's important for, say, the general public to have more than nothing as like a base understanding of pharmacology?
You mean on how drugs, pharmaceuticals work in the body and just rely completely on the doctors and that? I'd like to think that, like the same way, I don't think that's a good idea with mechanics and how cars work or how light bulbs work and everything. I mean, our bodies, I think it's more important. It's important to understand what you're taking and what it's doing and to research it. I guess probably, people must think that the internet is a scourge in ways, but it's also a way, it's a research tool for people to read about what their medications are actually doing to them. Because I know from my dad's experience as a doctor, cross-medicated elderly that's a real problem. Like, you know, for 5 years, grandma's all spaced out, and everyone just thinks it's because she's old, and it's because she's didn't mention to her doctor that her other doctor prescribed her something, and that kind of situation. So, to make a long story boring, yes, I think people should know more.
Okay, I'm trying to get a top, like, in schools, public schools,
right?
High school education.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Great.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us today.
Appreciate that. Good luck with your studies.
Thanks.
FM Vancouver Reloaded, playing your favorite tunes and mouth-humping your ear holes full of voice talk. Yeah, we do that.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, Oh,
All right, and that was Purple Neon Ninja Cows performing Lights at last year's Girls Rock Camp Vancouver. Just like to say to those girls, that was at least as good as a ton of albums, professional-grade albums that I've bought at HMV. For example, Sonic Youth, Ween, Jane's Addiction, etc. So keep up the good work, Rock Camp girls. Now here's the Royal We.
To Sagamore Hill, I will miss you. You know I will. With all your white sails, I don't know out in sun. Have trees on the ground. It was not meant to be. This is the end for you and me.
Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
The
the Westside Community Food Market is back every Thursday at 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. from July 3rd to September 25th. A stretch of sidewalk at 8th and Vine will be turned into a local food market. Join us for hyper-local foods, live music, coffee, and more.
See there down at the liquor store, going to drink those troubles and some more. Down at the old road river, that old road river, down at the old road river, that old road river. You were daddy's sunshine days, he left for good, went down to his grave. Mother Mary, full of grace, won't you watch these children in my place? I'm going under the river, that old rogue river. I'm going under the river, that old rogue river. Seen that nothing could be said for some. There's a fire in the little one's loin. It burns hot and it burns bright. She leaves an anchor, love and light. Watching over her and sisters to mama and papa, gone angels will have to do for now. Lord, have mercy in my dying days. There's been too much leaving, there's been too much shame. Left my babies in the cold. Now my heart it aches, I've been growing old. Feel it rise up into my throat. Lay these troubles down, lift my soul. I'm going to pray forgiveness, let me go. Pray my children and their children know not to do what I have done, but let go. Lay these troubles down, lift my soul, lift my soul, lift my soul up and over the river. That old road river, lift up and over the river.
Is making his way to my capillaries by way of my arteries and veins, bringing medicinal magic. Combination of pills and California red brings relaxation to my muscles and it lightens up my head. The doctor would advise against it, but I don't care what he says. It works a whole lot better when not used as directed. Doctor, doctor, what's the matter with me? You gave me pills for the whole damn week and I showed up on day number three. An affliction, I slur my words, can't maintain my diction. Social engagements, they cause me friction, so I stay home to avoid depiction that may occur on account of my addiction.
And all my friends are just moaning and bitching about how much I must spend popping pills in the kitchen. You know my body's going to intense demolition. Doctor, doctor, show up halfway through the week. Doctor, doctor,
Okay, and that was the Fuzz Kings with Codeine and Wine. Just for the record, Fuzz Kings, very cool local band, but slight technical inaccuracies in the lyrics. Remember, at first he says, codeine getting to my capillaries, carried by my veins and arteries? Not correct. Veins carry blood back to the heart, that would be from the capillaries, back to the heart. So it's going to be your arteries carrying that precious codeine to the capillaries. And the important thing is not the technical jargon. The important thing is to remember that's all the exact same stuff. An artery, a vein, and a capillary is the exact same stuff, just in a different place or a different size. And it sort of annoys me when they act like it's night and day, when it's a smaller version of the same stuff. Would you need a different name for a small orange? It's just a small orange. You don't need to call it a capillary. Anyway, moving on. Oh, also before that, we heard Elephant Revival. That was a cool song, hey? Rogue River. Now here's a little something-something from heavy metal nature girl, Shannon Matter.
Trees, small and stature, when you feel love. the current, unwind and push them under.
That was A Rope by Fistful of Snacks from their album Climb the Glass Mountain. So that's it for this week, radio fans. I want to say a special thank you to Luther Wright for being with us this week. Next week, we're back to the pharmaceutical sciences, so please tune in for that. Until then, happy listening and happy life through pharmaceutical awareness.
Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the UBC and Kitsilano area at
Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, The Bike Kitchen, The Cove, Dantry's Pub, Displace Hashery, Limelight Video, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Bar and Grill, Lotus Land Tattoo, Nuba Kitsilano, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
Hi, my name's Luther Wright from Luther Wright and the Wrongs, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Fred Durst?
He's like Iggy.
Oh, you are sorely mistaken. I
play something from $3 Bill, y'all.
What is that?
That's the landmark Limp Bizkit album.
Limp Bizkit? Oh my God! I mean,
wait, you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic?
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show.
CITR 101.9 FM, your crucial groove station.
It's just a lie.